bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
When I was a kid, I often found school very challenging. I had trouble paying attention. And if the subject matter did not interest me, or if I felt too challenged by it, I would tune out. Now, at the time, I knew there were other kids like me, and we would struggle. And I remember being in a special class for math because I really struggled with that. But nobody really gave us a name for it. Now, my daughter has ADHD and some other neurological issues. And so I am so excited about today's guest. We've got James Greenblatt, MD. We're going to talk about his fantastic book, Finally Focused, The Breakthrough Natural Treatment Plan for ADHD that restores attention, minimizes hyperactivity, and helps eliminate drug side effects. Dr. Greenblatt, so thrilled to have you on Talk Healthy today.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
You know, one of the things that I've heard from other parents is that once their child gets the diagnosis of ADHD or ADD, they start looking at their own childhood, and some of them might have it, some of them might not. But I'm wondering, is this something that you hear? Because I do hear that it's hereditary.
Yes, clearly there's a genetic component, more and more research has demonstrated that. Some parents are aware of their symptoms from childhood when they were in school. Other times they're not aware of it until their child is diagnosed.
It is really interesting. It's definitely opened my eyes, and I definitely do things to help myself with mine, or if I have it. But definitely, whether I have the label or not, I think a lot of us struggle with attention issues. You know, when did you know that this was something that you wanted to study? What got you interested in being an integrative psychiatrist? And also, what is an integrative psychiatrist?
Well, I went through traditional medical school, and as a child psychiatrist, you open up a shingle, and the vast majority of patients coming to you are those with ADHD. And the only model that I knew at the time was psychopharm medications. And I realized these were amphetamine-stimulant medications. Sometimes they helped, sometimes they didn't. Many kids had side effects and couldn't take it, but they still struggled with ADHD symptoms. So what were we going to do? So integrative psychiatry is looking at nutritional, metabolic, genetic, kind of underlying difficulties that might be contributing or causing the attention or behavior problems. And we use the term integrative because if medicines are needed, we can use those, but we have programs to minimize side effects and to pick the right medicine.
You know, I'm so glad that you mentioned that because I'm a pretty crunchy gal and I'm, really into clean living and health, obviously. But my daughter does take some medication and it's made a huge difference. Now, because it's funny, she doesn't take it for the ADHD. She takes it for some other issues that she has, but it's made a huge difference. And sometimes people are kind of negative about that. And I think that if you can look at it from a holistic perspective and say, okay, I'm also integrating nutritional strategies and movement strategies and break strategies, I think sometimes you need to be able to do what works for your child, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I'm afraid that over the past 10 years, we've kind of, the mental health consumer has kind of divided into two camps, no meds and just meds. And I think it's unfair to the patient, the child. You know, we do what we can to help. We clearly look for nutritional or natural means first, but medications sometimes are necessary.
Well, let's jump into these because, again, in the book, I love the title, Finally Focus, a Breakthrough Natural Treatment Plan. So jump into the treatment plan for us. Give us the highlights. Let's start with nutrition.
Well, we kind of focus the model on something that I think is simple to remember. It's called the plus-minus plan. There might be things in the environment or your child's diet that they need to add. So we look for deficiencies of vitamins and minerals. And then is there something that it needs to be avoided. That's the minus. So there are things like copper and lead or different food allergies or dyes that need to be avoided. So that's why we call it the plus-minus plan. And some of the simpler things that we found and the research supports is deficient in almost every ADHD child and adult is a deficiency of the mineral magnesium.
Oh, that's so interesting. You know, I'm a huge fan of Natural Calm, and I've been giving that to my daughter, and I've been taking it myself, and I think it does make a difference. Tell us why. What is it about magnesium?
Well, magnesium is a cofactor in many enzymes in the brain, and it also modulates our stress response. So if we think of someone who is struggling in school or at home with attention and behavior problems, their level of stress is high. So as that stress level, cortisol goes up, magnesium goes down. So that's one factor. And then I also believe there's probably a genetic component, since it's so common across many ages, this chronic magnesium deficiency. So I think there's probably either genetic higher need for magnesium, or they just utilize more magnesium.
Now, I mentioned Natural Vitality is a brand that I like because you can mix it right in with water. But what are some other ways to get it? Because I've heard that it can be complicated through food, that it's actually better to take a supplement. Is that correct in your view?
In my experience, someone with symptoms of ADHD, and the kinds of symptoms that are most responsive would be sleep, so insomnia, irritability, anxiety, and even constipation is a symptom of magnesium deficiency that parents can monitor. Most of the time, if you're having one of those symptoms with ADHD, supplements are probably going to be better because it's very hard to get the amount of magnesium that you would need from food alone.
Now, jumping back into the plus minus, so we want to add magnesium. What are some other things we want to add to our child's diet or to our diet if we have these issues?
Well, some of the other things we talk about are things like fish oil, omega-3s are really important. Protein. Many of these kids have, what we're discovering, do not do as well with carbohydrates, and higher protein can help. So adding protein is really important.
Yeah, I think so too. It can be so tough. You know, I'll go to the store and I'll go to the health food store and I'll get the cookies that have 5 ingredients versus 105. Because if people listen, they know my mother was really strict about food. She was a total health nut to the point where I would sneak food. I would hide food. It wasn't healthy for me. You know, I spend every cent on Girl Scout cookies and other junk. So I don't want to do that to my daughter. So I don't want her to go overboard. So I try to give her something like is the better choice. But it can be really tough. You know, one thing I did find, and I don't remember it's Simple Mills. I like to give people, you know, tips where they can go out and get it. I have no association with this company. They make an almond flour cookie. I don't know if you've had that, but almond flour is an amazing thing and they're very low in sugar. And it's a nice way that you still get that cookie, but without it being flour based.
Huh. No, I've never heard of that. It sounds great though.
Yeah, I'll have to send you the link. They're really fantastic. So I'm assuming, obviously, we want to take out the regular carbs then, right? The white rice, the white pasta. What about the whole grains? Do we want to limit those as well, or what do you see with that?
No, I mean, I tried, other than, you know, the refined sugars and the junk food, I try not to have parents kind of, you know, on diets for these kids because they'll never win, as you articulated.
Yeah.
It's just adding protein. It's making sure that there's protein with the breakfast or protein with the dinners, because there's some early studies years ago that showed that adding protein minimized the effects of sugar for some of these kids with attentional issues. So the complex carbohydrates are fine. It's just making sure there is some protein. As protein, the chemicals, the amino acids in protein are the precursors to the chemicals in the brain, dopamine, norepinephrine, that helps us pay attention, or certainly our children focus and pay attention.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, I do for my daughter is I start her with a protein drink. I really love JJ Virgin. She makes a great protein drink. It actually uses a grass-fed organic beef peptide. I don't know how they do it, but it's delicious, and she'll drink the whole thing, and then she'll get like 20 grams of protein, and it fills her up. And I think it's so much better than if I gave her a bowl of cereal. Even a whole grain bowl of cereal can have a lot of sugar in it. So you really want to watch that. What are some other parts of your plan, Dr. Greenblatt?
Well, some of the other minuses are some of the heavy metals, copper and lead, which has gotten a lot of press, but copper not so much. And even in Massachusetts, a new study came out. They were looking at lead in the water based on followed from Flint in our public schools. And what they found is not only high lead, but high copper. And I believe high copper is one of the most common causes of ADHD, particularly the more aggressive kind of oppositional ADHD.
Now, you mentioned food dyes, and that's something that I've heard a lot about, that we really want to keep our children away from artificial. So, for example, I know it's not Halloween time, but on Halloween time, what I'll tell my daughter is, you give me the candy, I'll take you to Whole Foods or a local health food store, and I'll get you some candy that, yeah, there's sugar in it, but there's no artificial dyes. Because I'm really a stickler on that, and it seems like it's an important thing to be aware of.
Yes, and I think, you know, when the Feingold diet first came out in the 70s, got a lot of press. There are a few studies that demonstrated it wasn't helpful, but these studies, you know, look at 100 or 200 kids, and they have to be statistically significant. But, you know, your child is not a statistic. So out of the 100, there could have been 10 kids that responded to the dyes. Now, we've all seen it. You know, I've seen it in my office with Hawaiian Punch in the old days.
So I think, and
then more research has come out recently that actually demonstrated genetic differences in a subset of kids that do respond to these food additives and some of these dyes. So clearly, there's a subset of kids that have behavioral responses to additives and dyes.
Yeah, so I think it's so important to keep that away from our kids. And like I said, there's so many great ways that there's so many products out there. You know, another great book is Unjunk Your Junk Food by Andrea Donsky, where they'll have side by side a certain cookie or a certain candy. And again, you know, if it has a few ingredients and it doesn't have the chemicals, the additives, the preservatives, the dyes, you know, I still think it's important to give your child a treat sometimes, or else you're going to end up like me and you don't want to have food issues like I have. That's a whole nother show, Dr. Greenblatt. Maybe I can come and see you. So anyway, I tend to use humor quite a bit, but no, it really is a serious issue. You know, when we have these things that can happen when we're not, when we're too restricted. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Let's talk a little bit about some things in our environment. My daughter loses everything. I don't know if this is something you deal with, Dr. Greenblatt, but I know there's other parents out there who have this issue. I mean, constantly it's like, Mom, where's my shoe? Mom, where's this? Do you help families with organizational things? Is there a way to help kids with ADHD not lose everything? Or I guess that's the whole point of following your plan, is then they won't lose everything.
Well, I think that, you know, part of the treatment is we minimize the kind of biologically driven factors that contribute to inattention, organization, but many of these kids still might be disorganized, and that's where the approach is, in my book, not psychotherapy, but sometimes more coaching and teaching organizational skills, and as they get older, the coaching model works really well. So we're not going to, with either a medicine or a supplement, eliminate all the symptoms, but we can get them to a point where these kids are going to be able to participate in the kind of coaching, the therapy, or just some of the parental support.
What is some of the therapy around it?
Well, you know, in my experience, each year it gets less and less. The therapy for the child usually becomes one of self-esteem. If these kids are doing poorly at school, they're criticized at home, they're alienated from friends, then the self-esteem plummets, and you have serious issues around self-esteem and sometimes depression. The real therapy is on the younger kids with the parents. So behavioral management techniques, how to listen to your parent, your child better, and how to understand the disorder so you're not yelling at them for things that they can't control. Because that is, I think, the most devastating for the kids, is when they're seriously trying and they feel that they are, but they can't follow through or do it. And it's usually one parent thinks they're, you know, can do it and they're just doing this to upset you. The other parent takes the other extreme. Couple therapy.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Oh, go ahead. Oh, couple therapy. That's a great idea.
Couple therapy can sometimes be the most helpful.
Yeah, you know, I feel like my daughter's really lucky. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but my husband and I are both very aware of this. You know, I had a mother with sensory processing issues, and I definitely, like I said, I have my own learning challenges, and my husband also has, you know, some issues as well. And so I think we understand. And it doesn't mean you don't get frustrated. Like, you can understand, but we don't yell and we talk about it. And sometimes we have to take a deep breath. Sometimes we have to walk away. Sometimes we have to say, I need a minute. And I think teaching parents these skills, because a child feels bad enough. I mean, my daughter comes home from school some days crying because she's different and nobody understands her. And she feels like she's doing her best and she still doesn't get it. And it's heartbreaking. And then to be yelled at on top of that, that's just terrible.
Yeah. No, I think the devastation that can sometimes go on for years and years without articulating it to both parents or certainly not teachers can really take a toll.
It really, really does. Now, let's talk about the eliminating drug side effects. That's in your title. Because again, I said I am a proponent of using medications if they are necessary. I think it is important to do the other things that we've talked about today with the nutrition and the therapy. And I think sometimes they need it. And I tell you, it's been for my daughter, she did not sleep. I mean, this kid, when she was an infant, funny story, Dr. Greenblatt, my husband calls the hospital. And my husband said, I want to talk to a nurse there or somebody about sleep. And they immediately assumed, oh, it's fine that she sleeps so much. No, she slept 5 hours in a 24-hour period. Now, she wasn't happy about it. She screamed and screamed and screamed in her mind. And as a toddler, she'd sit in her crib and she would just, like, I'd sing her a song once or twice and she'd know the whole thing and she would just say it over. I mean, it was just unbelievable madness. Now, I'm not saying all kids with ADHD are like that. She has other issues. But the point is this sort of ongoing mind and these issues. We eventually, when she was like 7, we were able to find something that helped her relax enough to sleep. And our whole lives changed. And so did hers. And great. I think that's what you need to do. Yeah. It made a huge difference.
I mean, I was work a wreck. And persistence. Yeah.
It really does.
But when you mentioned sleep and medication side effects, the most important part of eliminating medication side effects is the two. One is we do genetic testing on everyone that we see so we can predict which kind of medicine could be most helpful. And two is the use of magnesium. A lot of the common side effects we see with stimulants in particular, the anxiety, the agitation, the irritability, biting the nails, very, very common side effects all disappear when magnesium is taken. So I usually try to use magnesium a month before medications, and then with the stimulants, adding magnesium.
You know, this is the first time, and I'm shocked, that I've ever heard about this testing with the blood work, because my daughter never had that. It was sort of a guessing game. And we went through like 4 different psychiatrists because she was such an anomaly that no one really quite got her and what was going on until the one we've been working with now. So it's been pretty amazing. And she seemed to pinpoint it right. But I didn't know that. Is this something that you do and others don't? Or I'm just in the dark? I'm really like amazed right now. Tell us about this.
Well, it's becoming a bigger part of medicine. Certainly, you know, in cancer now, we're looking at targeting specific treatments based on genes. And in psychiatry, there are a number of companies out there looking at anywhere between 10 and 20 different genes. And some of these genes can help us predict which medications might be more helpful. Also, how we metabolize medicines to minimize side effects. It's at its infancy, but I've been doing it now for about 6 years, and it's very hard for me to see a new patient without doing this genetic test.
You know, Dr. Greenblatt, we just have a few more minutes. I'm curious, once people put the plus-minus plan into working and your finely focused plan overall, now, of course, every child is different, but how long does it usually take if they're doing the magnesium, they're taking out some of the refined carbs, some of the other issues we talked about? How quickly can you see a change, would you say?
You know, for some of the abnormalities, it might be 2 to 4 weeks, but usually it's about 3 months, and that's why, depending on the severity of the symptoms, there might be times we need to use meds while we're doing the nutritional work. But usually between 1 and 3 months, people are beginning to notice differences that provide that kind of positive benefit, the improvement in self-esteem, and improvement in performance at school.
That is so good to know, because the self-esteem is also tough when there's issues with friends. Some kids with ADHD have trouble making friends, or they, you know, I know my daughter, I know she's seen as different, and that can be difficult. So I think anything that can help our kids, and that's the most important thing to me as a parent. I mean, would I love her to do better in school? Yeah, of course, but that's not the issue. For me, it's about her being happy, her having self-esteem, because she's such a good person. And I think so many of these kids are. And talk about the creativity. I don't know if that's just a stereotype, but the kids that I've met and the adults I've met with ADHD, it's off the charts. Have you noticed that? And there's a lot of entrepreneurship in there as well for the adults.
Absolutely, yes. There's lots of books and websites of famous people around the world throughout history that had ADHD. And that's another important part of my book, is helping to reframe the symptoms into one of strength and creativity and energy and passion. It's just not everyone, you know, is passionate about Greek history or math. So school is an area of struggle. But if we can support them and encourage them in the real world, ADHD symptoms can be a great asset.
You know, it's funny because it wasn't until high school that I really liked school. Well, I liked health class. And that, you know, and I actually was interested in health prior to that because my mother always had health problems and I always wished I could help her and I saw how important health was. And then I took health class in 10th grade and I thought, well, this is great. And then, you know, I eventually got my master's in public health and I did really, really well because I was so interested. There is that hyper-focus aspect that I'd love you to touch on before we close today because that's where I can excel. If I'm interested in something, I can take off. But if I'm not, forget about it.
Yeah, and that's why I think that a name might be better than attention deficit. I heard the term once, variable attention disorder.
Oh, I love that.
Because in certain environments, many of these kids can, you know, focus for long periods of time. And I've always, you know, interesting as to who can focus on what. I have one kid who could fish for 6 hours, which I might find very boring, but he couldn't sit in history class or math class. So a lot of kids with ADHD do have this ability to hyper-focus if they're very interested in something, and that's where some of the passion and productivity comes from.
Definitely. Well, Dr. Greenblatt, I'm so glad I had you on the show today. I think your book is fantastic. Finally Focus, a breakthrough natural treatment plan for ADHD that restores attention, minimizes hyperactivity, and helps eliminate drug side effects. Dr. Greenblatt, tell us all the ways we can find your fantastic book and more about you.
Great. Well, thank you. We have a website set up, finallyfocusedabook.com. And we have an upcoming conference in New Hampshire on ADHD. That's on the website, and most of the information is there.
Oh, fantastic. When is the conference?
It'll be June 10th, Saturday, up in New Hampshire, Manchester, and there'll be a discussion on the genetic testing, environmental factors, nutritional factors, and Ned Halliwell will talk about his experience with ADHD.
Oh, fantastic. I actually do have one more question. You know, I started the show asking about if you have a child with ADD or ADHD and you think you have it. Do you recommend parents, if they're curious, or adults, to go get checked out? I would assume if they're only, you know, having issues. But if they are, is that a good thing to do? Is there a way to, should they take a neuropsych test, or what would they do?
I think getting professional help, or at least an evaluation, is really important. I've had adults who came to my office with tears in their eyes because they had young children, and they weren't able to sit long enough to read them a book or go to a movie. And it wasn't until they got treatment that they could really engage and be with their young children. So getting treatment as adults are really important. For those with severe symptoms, it can prevent a whole host of issues because adults with ADD untreated have higher rates of divorce, traffic tickets, job failures. So it does have repercussions that can be eliminated.
Well, you should come back sometime. We can talk more about adults and ADHD. In the meantime, I want to thank you again for listening. Be sure to check out Dr. Greenblatt and check me out at Talk Healthy Today. You can listen on iTunes, on Radio MD. Please subscribe and rate and review. It makes a big difference so more people can tune in and hear all about what's going on here on Talk Healthy Today. Thank you so much and stay well.